Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I am your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I am on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship is conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 2 of the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Sitting across from me right now is the legend himself, Two-Shot Tony. Two-Shot, a.k.a. Tony Ellersick, is the man behind Washington Backcountry's YouTube channel. He is the guy who edits all the videos and does all the great film work, and originally is my very first hunting partner. So when I took the dive into becoming a hunter and not having anyone to go hunting with, I had a great buddy, Tony, who I met, and I was like, dude, you got to be a hunter. Come join me on this. What do you think? And so this is going to be a little bit of Tony's story mixed in with mine in our creation of Washington Backcountry. So, Tony, welcome to the podcast, man. Thanks for being here. And tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Thanks, man. Yeah. My name's Tony. And I'm just about to be 30 years old here in, I don't know, like 20 days or something. So that's crazy. I'm married. We just had our first kid last August. So he's about 9 months old. And I do apartment maintenance for my day job. And other than that, I...
Now, you do apartment maintenance now, but before you got into that, you were quite the craft... master of delicious beverages. So what'd you do before you did apartment
maintenance? Some people enjoy the beverages I used to make. So my family owns a brewery in Linwood, Washington, Biggie Ales. And I was the brewer there for about 10 years.
Say you were a brewmaster.
Johnny loves calling me the brewmaster. I would just say I brew beer. And he would say, oh, this is Tony. He's the brewmaster.
Yeah. So, okay. We're going to go back to the beginning, and since this is the beginning of the Soulful Hunter Podcast with episode 2, we're also going to talk about how Soulful Hunter Podcast has branched out from Washington Backcountry and what Washington Backcountry was all about. And with that goes to becoming a hunter as an adult and what it's like to get into hunting later in life. So, Tony, tell us your perspective, your take on how you got into hunting, why you got into hunting, because the why is really important. Why do people do anything that they do? So share with us, what was it that made you be like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll give it a shot or whatnot?
Sure, yeah. Well, so like you said earlier, one random day, you and I, we're already buddies at this point, and you shoot me a text, hey, man, you want to get our hunting license? Take this test, send me the link and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, cool, that sounds fun. So instantly right there, I'm like, yeah, let's hunt. That sounds fun. That's how it started, right? So to go beyond that, my dad, he was a hunter growing up, and we had this rule where once we got to a certain age, I can't remember what that age was now, but once we got to that age, then he would take us hunting. So I have 3 brothers, 2 older, 1 younger, and my 2 older brothers, they all went hunting with my dad. They made it to whatever that age was, I don't know, 7 or something. And the year I turned that age, he stopped going. Last time he hunted, and I was like, sweet, all right. So I guess we're done with this now. So I never got that experience. I wanted it because my brothers had it. I would hear about the stories and stuff. But so I think when you asked me, hey, do you want to hunt? I initially was like, I've wanted to hunt my whole life. Yes, absolutely. I want to hunt. And we already have this background of hiking and being outdoors and, you know, getting after it on the mountains. So it's like,
yeah,
hunting's just going to add to that. So that's why I jumped on it so, you know, as quickly as I did.
So it's interesting that you were raised by a father who hunted. However, something happened in his life and he decided to stop hunting.
Yeah.
And therefore, you are now an adult onset hunter,
stopped.
And there was no continuation or no legacy left by your father.
Yeah.
When it came to hunting, what was it that at a younger age that you thought was fun?
I think I just wanted to be a part of what they were doing, and the idea of shooting guns and being outside and camping in a tent and being with the guys, you know, like that sounded fun to me.
So you loved, like, without putting words in your mouth, the concept of community?
Is that
Oh,
totally.
It was about...
The stories is all about people hanging out. It's not about whatever game you were after and the kills you got or whatever. It was like, oh, we had fun and this is what we did. And it was like, oh, man, I'm missing out, you know?
Right, yeah. Oh, man, we didn't even shoot anything, but dude, we had a blast at camp.
Exactly, yeah.
So, okay, that is sweet. So, fast forward, you know, several years, how old were you when I sent that text to you?
And how old asked was you I when you sent that text to me?
So, I was 29. I was 29. I'm 35 now.
I'm 30 now.
Yeah,
basically.
So you were 25 years old.
Yeah, okay.
24. You're 24, yeah.
Yeah, so I was already married. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Which is why my wife's a little weird about it still.
Tell me, what do you mean by that?
Well, you meet someone and you're a certain way, and then as you grow in your relationship, either you add hobbies or you get into something that you weren't into when you first met, and it's like, oh, that's different. You weren't like that before, and now you're like this, and now you're all about this, and that's just weird. So she says that all the time.
I totally hear you on that. And that's one of the things, like the barriers that we're trying to break down through the Soulful Hunter and just bring different perspectives and mind shift when it comes to hunting is like, so before I became a hunter, I was a high school football coach. I coached multiple sports for several years, but fall was dedicated to football. I played high school ball, college football, and then after college football, started coaching and yada yada, 12 years later, I'm in the game, and every fall was dedicated to Friday Night Lights. Well, going in, so I've been hunting 6 years, been married this June 22nd will be 6 years, which is ironically also your birthday.
That's right.
That was a great
party I've ever been to.
So when I was preparing to get married, I told my wife, I was like, I'm a football coach, so be aware that football season comes around. You're going to be what is referred to as like a football widow. And are you okay with that? You know, kind of put it out there for everyone and, you know, choose yes or no, but don't hold it against me like you didn't know it beforehand going into this. And so a couple years we were married and I was coaching, and that was kind of the lifestyle. Even our second kid was born in October, which all of you hunters out there try to limit the amount
time
of family birthdays or special events during your hunting seasons if you want to
choose wisely.
Yeah, if you want to limit the amount of stress or seasons. But with that, my wife, you know, she was okay with being a football coach, with me being a football coach, but all of a sudden I wanted to add hunting on top of that, and it was this major struggle. She was like, you can't do both, and you got to choose one. And not that she was giving me an ultimatum, because I knew that if I wanted, I couldn't be great at both. I could be a really good coach and a really crappy hunter, or I could be a really good hunter and then just not coach anymore. And coaching is something that's always been there. Teaching has always been there. And I was like, man, I only have so many seasons and so many seasons and years of being able to hunt. And so I was like, all right, I'm diving head in. And so even though I wasn't a hunter when we met, it was one of those things that I was able to trade. But being a husband and talking about your wife not knowing that being a part of your life.
Yeah.
Like, that's a major deal, man.
Oh, yeah.
So it's hard
And that was the same with me, because I was a football coach.
Yeah.
And so same struggles with you, where it was, well, you have to pick one or the other, because you can't go to football games Friday night and then sneak out after to for the weekend to hunt, and then I see you like 4 days later. That's not going to work for us. So.
Right. You know, there's only so much time that you can spend outside of the home and still be effective at what you're trying to do. And if you're trying to be a good father and a good husband, then you need to learn balance in your life. And that's one of the things that we're focusing on through this podcast is learning how to balance, man.
Yeah.
Life is all about that balance, that yin and yang and the zen of trying to not lose control in a chaotic life in which we have. So that's pretty cool. So here you are, you become a hunter, and you got this crazy buddy who is like, hey man, why don't you come join me out in the woods? And you're like, okay, sure. So tell me a little bit about your process and your growth as a hunter and what it was like on your journey.
Well, so I have been a hobby seeker. So if it's not one thing, it's another thing. I just love to learn new things and experience new experiences. So I have been into tons of different hobbies, and a lot of that is extreme sports, outdoors type stuff, music. There's a big list of stuff. So you and I, we met because we were on the same flag football team randomly because I was invited by someone. You were invited by, I think, the same guy, maybe.
Yeah, we had a common person.
Yeah, we had us. Yeah, yep. And we met, and you were the quarterback, which I was the quarterback, so you are a better quarterback than me, so you won, and then turns me into a receiver. He wouldn't throw me the ball. That's besides the fact. Still,
you're still bitter about that.
Still salty about that, but... And we just kind of hit it off as friends. This was before hunting or anything, and... Johnny liked rock climbing and hiking. I liked hiking, mountaineering, snowboarding.
Yeah, and actually one of the first times we used to hang out was actually snowboarding.
Yeah, going up to Stevens Pass, yeah. So I was a snowboarder, a skateboarder, you know, anything outdoor. And so when you asked me to hunt, I was like, yeah, of course I want to. That's just another cool thing that I can put on my list of other cool things that I like to experience. And soon you fell in love with hunting like
full
that
go.
Just
go.
right then and there. And I liked it for a couple years, but I liked doing my other stuff at the same time, and so I wasn't gonna take away one to have another.
But you also weren't a father at the time.
No, I was not. Yeah, and you were becoming a father and wrestling through all that, and we talked about that a ton, which those are great conversations.
The balance of time.
And to look back at those conversations now, being that I'm a father, it makes all the sense in the world. But I remember we talked back then, like you said, one day I bet you're gonna pick hunting over snowboarding. And I was like, hell no. I mean, heck no. There's no way. There is no way. And now today, I mean, I haven't had a season pass for 2 years, but I will dedicate every free time I have to hunting,
or anything that goes with it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's really crazy that so being someone who I used to work at REI. So whether it was mountain biking, rock climbing, camping, snowboarding, you name it, I did it and I loved it. And I was like a jack of all trades, but an ace of none. And that was one of the things that is like, I could do all these different things, but they were seasonal.
Yeah.
You know, like you went mountain biking and then you stopped and you went rock climbing and then you went backpacking and then winter came and you went snowboarding and all these things had their own season. When I came to becoming a hunter, it was full go year round. And I was like, if I'm going to get better at this, I have to pursue it year round because that is when, you know, the growth is made in the off season. Being a former football player, you understand that you don't make your gains during the season. It's in the off season that you grow. And so I was like, all right, I got to, anytime I have an opportunity to be away from the house, I'm going to be hunting because snowboarding isn't going to get me better at hunting and doing all these other activities. Even though I love them, my time, I'd rather be out in the wilderness and getting closer with my creator and finding out who I am. And I love the challenge and what hunting brings. And that is the ultimate. So I get it, man.
Yeah, it's a crazy balance, like you said.
So we, you and I hunted for a couple years.
Yep.
And we, so that give you a little perspective. I had a very young son who was young enough to be carried in a backpack on my back. And I finally realized what public land was. And so Tony and I, on weekends when my wife was at work and he was off, we would go hiking up to the state forest. And we started seeing deer and we saw animal sign. And we're like, hey, we're going to start scouting this area, set up game cams, and really try to get an idea. It's not too far from home, yada, yada, yada. And so we hunted there a couple years, no success. But what were some of the things that you learned from that, those couple years of being out there?
I think, well, so when I started hunting, I started with birds. So I had a buddy, you know him, and he would take me bird hunting for pheasant, and that's, I had success bird hunting. Harvested tons of birds and it was fun. So I ended up getting dogs. I was all about bird hunting. My wife was okay with that because she's like, oh, cool. Yeah, bird hunting. You know, it's like fishing, but I don't want you to do big game hunting because I think.
Because birds don't have souls.
Yeah.
But animals you
look into a deer's eyes. I don't understand how you could possibly pull a trigger type of a thing.
Right.
And so I hunted birds for 2 years before I started big game hunting, and then went deer hunting 1 year before you started.
So you started at the same time because when I sent you that invite to do your hunter safety,
yep,
and you started working through that, but you really dove into the bird hunting aspect.
Yes.
But let's getting back to like that whole when we were really putting in going for scouting.
Okay.
What was your focus? Like, what, even though we never saw an animal
those previous years, like I was saying, before I was hunting with you, I was going with someone and I just followed him around. And he wasn't teaching me or showing me nothing. He was just like, come along with me and then see what happens. When you and I started going out and hiking and you started pointing out, you know, different droppings and different tracks and different rubs, and these are things that I didn't even see the couple years that I was doing it with this other guy, and I was like, holy smokes, there is sign everywhere, like how did I miss this?
Yeah,
the whole I've been doing this for like 3 years now and I don't even understand how to track an animal or what signs I'm looking for. And so when you started going through the woods with me and pointing and pointing and pointing and, oh, look at that deer. And I was like, I didn't even see that deer. And I was like, how do you know? How do you see that? And it takes practice to find sign and to see animals.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they blend in like crazy. If you don't practice it, you'll never see them. So
it was really fun. I remember when we were going out in the woods during that time, the whole point, and still to this day, the whole objective is anytime you go out into the field, you try to take at least one thing away from when you're out there. Yeah. And so when we were doing our hiking, it was like, all right, are we seeing game trails? Are we looking, you know, like, what is it? How walking on the, you know, uphill side of a road, so that way we're not giving away our sign as we're walking, then you come over the edge and peek down and different things. And so that was a real learning curve, trial by error.
Well, and you're really good at asking those questions too. You would ask as we're walking, I mean, you know, the trail talk that you have, like, what did you learn? Did you learn anything? What can we take away from this? What are things that we should work on?
And you know what I think was my biggest takeaway? It's hunting is hard.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It's hard. But when we talk about hunting is hard as a newbie, the whole idea is that we want to kill something. We want to harvest an animal. But ultimately, hunting isn't hard in the enjoyment factor, in the pursuit of the wild and finding yourself in nature and your why. But if you're looking to shoot an animal, hunting's difficult. But one of the beautiful things is that you get out of it what you put in.
Yeah.
And that's something I've learned along the way and in our journey. So let's fast forward a couple of years. We were really scouting this area together, and we weren't having much success. But with that, we were getting hooked. You're getting the itch.
Yes, the itch was real.
We went out. We thought it would be good for bear. We knew that it was a great bear spot.
We put out a cam
at the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, share with me.
We put out a trail cam. I got a trail cam for my brother for Christmas. Didn't know how to use it. But I was like, this can be cool. I know people use this thing. So we went out, put one up there, because we've been hiking this and scouting it. Checked it, a month later or whatever. We got cougar, we got bear, we got deer, and we're like, holy smokes, this is a gold mine. We're going to definitely kill an animal in here.
Yeah.
Hunted bear there, never saw anything.
So high school football in the state of Washington starts around August 16th, 17th, and bear season on the western side of the state starts August 1st.
Oh, yeah.
And so we knew that we had this time crunch of like, oh, man, I don't know how much time we'll really get to put out towards deer or these other things. But, man, we're not working these days. We can get out for bear. And so this whole concept of us pursuing bear as our first big game animal was it.
Yeah.
Even though I never tried bear.
Made more sense.
I've never even eaten bear before that, but I was like,
yep,
let's do it. So we weren't successful, and go the next year around and leading up to it, that spring and summer, we're like, all right, we're doing this year. We're getting an animal. I got an idea. And so I talked to Tony and was like, I backpacked for years. What if we go on an overnight backpacking trip like I used to do the first week of August? Only this time we bring guns with us, and we go on a bear hunt. And what did you think of that?
I was all for it. So same thing. I've done backpacking, mountaineering, took a course, loved it. Couldn't wait to get out and experience it again, more than just one night. You know, like I wanted to be in the wild and survive off the wild and carry everything on my backpack. And then to do this while hunting, we haven't done that yet. Like, we would go and we'd camp at a safe place. We wouldn't bring our camp on our back and then go hunting. So this idea was like, this is what I'm talking about. When I think about hunting, this is the idea that I get.
All right, so dive into that more for the listeners. What do you mean that you felt safe when you're going back and camping at other locations versus you? What was different? Like, was there something for your soul? This is a Soulful Hunter podcast, you obviously already touched it right there. But what was it? Like, you wanted to hunt, and obviously you love backpacking, and you love the concept of hunting.
Yeah.
But why together did that just fuel the fire?
So, getting away from being comfortable. And so we'd stay in, like, a trailer or a friend's house or something if we were going out of the area to hunt for multiple days, but never in the backcountry, never in a tent, never relying on what we brought. Like, we had backups, we had people, we had shelter, as in like a comfy home.
You had cell service.
Cell service. I mean, yeah, everything, right? And so getting out of that and just being, I guess, with nature, with your buddies in pursuit of an animal that you're trying to harvest to take home as your success. It's like, this is all of these things put into one basket is what gets me excited.
So for all you listeners out there, our creed here is that we are on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And now, don't let me put words in your mouth. Do you feel like when you were finally on that backcountry hunt, that is when your fire came alive and you became transformed and really wanted to dive head in into hunting?
So I would call myself a hunter before that, because I went hunting unsuccessfully. It was fun, sure, but when we went on that backpack trip hunting bear, it was the excitement that we had from that weekend and our success, it was like, this is what it's all about. Like, I am now going to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Like, it became real at that time, mainly because that was the first time I'd seen a big game animal harvested by you.
Uh-huh.
And so getting my hands dirty and being able to gut and skin an animal was awesome to experience. But then to know that we are up there putting in the work, relying on each other to do it. I mean, like, all of that into one, I was like, this is how you should hunt.
Yeah.
This is why.
There's something special about backcountry hunting that is completely different than base camp hunting, where you're at a truck and a campground and all
I've
that.
I've done then, both since, and I prefer backcountry hunting by far.
Backcountry hunting, I love it because you don't do anything unless your body carries you.
Yeah.
It is total self-reliance upon who you are and your willpower and the amount of grit that you have within yourself. So to give you a little insight, Tony and I went on a 9-mile backpacking trip in the heart of the Cascade Mountains. And on this trip, it was the beginning of August. We left on August 1st. Mm-hmm. Bear season was officially begun and kicked off the 2017 hunting season. And we made it all the way up there, expecting to be all alone. We're out in the, you hear in the hunting world, the further away you get from people, the better off the hunting can be. Well, that's not always the case. However, we really had a mission to get deep. We wanted to put in the work, because you always get out what you put in. So we bust our cans all the way up to this place, 9 miles deep. And Tony, what did you think of that hike in?
It was tough. Johnny's a goat. I was like, man, slow down. He goes, it hurts if I slow down. I was like, man, I can't keep up. And I thought I was fit too. I was like, it was tough.
Tony's a CrossFit king, and all you know that he's all about that life. But little do y'all know that I was training for a marathon that time, and I was running a marathon a month later.
Oh, my word, man.
So we make it all the way up to camp. It was a struggle fest to get there.
Yeah, well, I was very relieved to get to camp.
We got there at night. It was dark. We quickly set up our tents, and we went to bed. Yeah. Now, about that hunt for me, one of the biggest things about this bear hunt is multiple things came out of it. Number one, I was able to take my first big game animal thanks to you, and we'll get into that in a second, but I had a fear of the woods and fear of bears, and it was extremely ironic that out of all the hunting that I did, the very first big game hunting was black bear, and I was afraid of bears in the woods. And I remember going to bed at night being like, oh my gosh, is our food hung? I don't really want a bear to come into camp. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing, man? You have a gun right by you. The whole idea is to shoot a bear. It's easier if they come to us. And so did you ever have any of those fears, or like what went through your mind?
I mean, those went through my mind, but I don't know if I was afraid of them. I think on that trip, my tent got hit by something and it scared me. It could have been the wind, but it was like, you know, like something patted my tent and it shook the whole thing. And I started like air punching the walls. Cause I'm like, if something's getting in, it's going to get punched. And then I know something's there. And then that morning we woke up and I was looking for tracks, and I was like, there were like coyotes or there was something in our campsite. I don't know if anything happened, but I was scared at that moment, because I was like, I think I'm going to get eaten right now.
The mind is a powerful thing.
It is.
It can play tricks on you.
But no, I would sleep very sound because I was tired. So I didn't have time for any of that.
So we're on this trip. We planned 4 days of a hunt. And on day one, we spot a lot of bears.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
But they were all too far away.
Right.
We couldn't get
but
to
just
them.
To see it.
It was like we actually did something
we
right.
We see what we're after, and we're deep into it. Like, it got me excited. Like, we're in the right place. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I was pumped about it.
One of the things about, like, deer hunting is, you know, you see deer, but you don't see deer with antlers very often.
Yeah.
Well, we're bear hunting. It's either sex that you can shoot. And so you see a bear, it's like, game on. So we saw some bear. How hot do you think it was? Like 95 degrees,
I think.
It was. It was like just a heat of summer.
I learned a lot about base layers and, oh my word.
It was a wild time, and mosquitoes were insane. So I'm going to allow Tony to tell this perspective, and then I'm going to share my view of this, because this is all comes down to my first bear kill. And before we go, I just want to preface this, that this was the beginning of Washington backcountry. So Tony is the man behind all the videos that we do and produce on our YouTube channel, and is a big part of, well, number one, I'm not a solo hunter. I don't like hunting solo. I will, but I would rather be with you.
I agree. I'm same thing. I hunt solo if I have to, but I prefer to be with a partner.
Yeah. And so even though I shot the bear, it was like a win for everyone.
Oh yeah.
It was a win for the team.
Yep.
You know,
100%.
And so obviously, you know, we shared meat, but at the same time, it was like you shoot one, it's like me shooting one. So take us through what it was like and how us taking that first bear went down.
Well, Johnny stole my bear. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Kind of.
So we were up hiking and taking a little swim in the lake there that we were camping on, and we hear some people come in, a dog barking. These guys were hiking, and there were three people. So it was one lady and two guys, I believe. And this woman ended up being a yoga instructor, or, you know, big yogi. And so Johnny's the nicest person in the whole world. So he will talk to every single person that he runs into. And I'm just trying to enjoy my downtime, rest my bones from all the hiking. And I mean, it was so hot, so I just want to cool off, because we're going to get ready for this evening hunt, and we're just going to get some food in us and gear up. But so he's talking, and I mean, we make friends with these guys. Fast forward a little bit, they leave, and or we are leaving, I don't remember which one, but
I'm gonna interject right here. We were getting ready for dinner, and they were about to leave.
Yeah, they were leaving.
They were,
oh, that's
hikers.
Right, because we had our
hikers.
Clothes off.
Yeah,
I was shirtless, swimming.
Yep.
Yeah.
They
okay, that's
they
right.
They had a dog with them.
Yep. Yep.
They came up to us. We're like, "What are you doing?" And you're dressed in camouflage. And we're like, "Well, we're hunting." They're like, "What are you hunting?" We're like, "Hunting black bear." And they're like, "What? You can hunt black bear? Are you kidding me? And what are you going to do with it?" And all these questions of non-hunters would typically ask. And so went through this process with them and educated them, and were ambassadors for the hunting community about, we are here legally pursuing black bear, and it is something that anyone can do as long as you go through hunter safety, get your hunting license, and this is something that you could do. And these people were like, "Oh, wow, that's really cool. Wait, there's bear here?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, you got to be careful. Mm-hmm. We're actually bear hunting. We wouldn't be here without it." So, yeah. So okay, we're in the lake. We're cooling off. We're getting ready for dinner. What happens?
She starts freaking out, is how I remember this. So she's like, "It's a bear, and she's pointing. And I give everyone, you know, like, I believe in everyone unless they give me reason not to. So I shoot into action. And I grab my rifle, and I put on I got some slides on, so my camp shoes, I don't even have boots on, or a shirt. I have swimming shorts on.
Yeah.
Or boxers, whatever it was. But I start going. I'm like, "Where?" And she just points, and I didn't see it, but she pointed, so I ran. She could have been joking. I don't know.
And what'd you have with you? Did you have a gun?
Yeah, I had my 308. I had my gun and my shoes and my shorts.
That was it.
That's all I had.
So you run by her.
Yep. And then Johnny's over here taking his sweet time, because he's like, "Oh."
So I got to tell my perspective.
Whatever, man.
I didn't trust her. Now, I thought that since they were not familiar with hunting, that they are automatically anti-hunting. And this was a judgment call that I made, and I've really changed my perspective since, because it's my job to educate people in regards to hunting. But when she was like, a bear, I was like, no way. So
I was like, yeah.
So I just like lackadaisically got out of the pond and got out of the lake, and I was like, all right, I'm going to put my Birkenstocks on to bridge the gap between the REI community and the Cabela's community. And so instead of grabbing a gun, I grabbed my binoculars. I'm like, all right.
He's like, I got to do something. I'll just grab binoculars.
Well, I was also thinking, well, Tony's so fast right now, dude.
I was off to the races.
He's
going to
shoot this bear before I get opportunity.
I was
to.
Determined.
So I walk up to this lady, and I'm like, did you actually see a bear? And you could just see it in her
and I'm
eyes.
Long gone.
Yeah, Tony, I can't. He's out of sight right
I'm
now.
Down
he's
like, the trail.
He's down the trail. Up
I don't
over
even know where
hill.
This bear is. I could be too far.
And so... So I go up to this lady. She's like, yeah, I saw a bear. And I was like, where was it? And she was like, it's right there. And she points across the lake. And I'm like, well, where'd it go? And she's like, it went that way. And I was like, okay. And so at that point, I was like, okay, I believe her that there's a bear there. And I start running as fast as I can, but not that fast because I didn't have a gun. You had the gun. And I get to you.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you doing at that point? So you were stopped in the middle of the trail. That's how I caught up.
Yeah.
There.
So I have not seen this bear at all, and so I think I was either catching my breath, but I was also trying to find this bear because it was on the run, right? So I should be able to see a moving target, and can't see anything. All of a sudden, you yell, "It's right there! Shoot it!" And I was like, you know, now my heart is just going nuts because I'm the guy with the gun. I'm the smart one who actually took it because I was like, yes, hey, that's what you get for believing in people. She's going to help us out. And I'm looking and I'm looking and you're just screaming in my ear and won't stop.
Over your
shoot
shoulder.
It,
like,
shoot
it's
it.
Right there.
It's right there. I have no idea where this bear is. And so finally I just turn to you and I'm like, here, you shoot it. And I just give you my gun. And then you go taking off running to get a better shot. I don't know. I still haven't seen the bear. And I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to kill a bear. Like, it's not even about me anymore. I'm like, just go. We did all this work to hike up here to do this. We need to leave with what we came out here to seek.
Yeah.
And so whatever it was, I was like, it's yours. You got it. Go. And I'm like, we're going to kill a bear. I'm getting even more jacked. I'm like, you know where it is. You have the gun.
Laid eyes on it. It's official.
It's
like,
done.
It's not. It's yeah.
Yeah. So I still don't see the bear. And you stop and pull up. And like, I think the split second before you pull the trigger, I finally saw it. And I go, it's right there. Shoot it. And like in the middle of my sentence, you shot. And I was like, oh, he already knew. All of a sudden, you know, you shoot it. It probably goes 10 yards and then does the moan.
Yeah.
The famous bear moan when they go down, and it's like, what just happened? And we get jacked. I jump on Johnny and I kiss him on the forehead, I think is what I did. I remember it was forehead, it was cheek, but I was so jacked. And you're like, you know, you had your big old grin, but you're like, what just happened? Oh my gosh. Like, we just celebrated, like, nobody's business. It was unreal.
Right. And so for all of you out there who are brand new to hunting, or even you're thinking about becoming a hunter or whatnot, I just took a life.
Mm-hmm.
And for the very first time, and before, Tony doesn't know this, but I actually was, I looked into the eyes of this bear before I shot.
Yeah.
And it knew it met its end. And it is a spiritual thing to truly take the life of an animal. And it was my way, like, I was so excited, but it was solemn at the same time.
I had the completely different perspective because I just witnessed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't me who did it, but so I'm celebrating and you're over here like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I don't know that feeling because I haven't killed a big game animal at that point.
So at that exact moment, I don't even remember you in my memories.
Like, yeah, I mean, I was kissing you on the face. I was in your grill, bro.
Dude, talk about just being in the zone and not knowing what was going on. So So I ended up shooting this bear, and one shot, one kill. It tumbled down into this creek bed, and then it was like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
And then you realize where you're at, and that not only did you just shoot an animal, but you just shot an animal in front of people who didn't even know you could shoot an animal.
Yeah.
And that was pretty wild. So yeah. What was your take on that?
I mean, they heard the shots. We were far ahead of them. We were running down this trail. So we probably got, maybe a quarter mile out pretty quick. And heard gunshots. They probably heard me celebrating. You're pretty quiet, but I was definitely vocal about it. And we heard the moans, so we walked up to the edge of the creek where it had fallen into, saw that it was clearly dead, it was not moving, and we were like, you know, we took time together to celebrate it before we went up to it.
Yeah.
We were like, wow, this was crazy. And then they caught up to us, so before we even went to check out the bear yet.
Yeah.
And I think she was the first one there, and she was like, did you get it? And it was like, yep, it's dead. I might have been like, yeah, we killed it. I mean,
yeah,
you killed it, but I was like,
it
yes.
It was a wee. This is what the part of community
totally.
that we're all
it
about.
It was such a cool feeling, yeah.
It's a teamwork.
That's right, absolutely.
I wouldn't have been able to do that. I would not have been in that location if you wouldn't have gone with me on that trip.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and... And so, yeah, so we shoot this bear
in front. And so we're like, hey, do you want to see it? And she was game. I don't know if her friends were. I don't know if they.
They
I don't
were
remember.
A little timid.
They were definitely more timid. She wanted to see it. Like, I don't know if she'd seen a bear up close like that.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen a bear up close like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all around, it was just a crazy experience for all of us. Like, her included, you know, because of our conversation before that.
And so, you know, you go from people saying that they've never seen a bear to they've never seen a bear in the wilderness to they've never seen now a dead bear.
Yeah.
And it was like full circle for these people.
Yeah.
What do you think their takeaway was? Like, if they were here with us, what would they say about this?
I mean, we didn't really get to know them and what they stand for. They don't know about hunting, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're against it or
they got to experience it firsthand.
Yeah, they did. And I feel like she was thankful, I remember, because she said it was almost like, thank you for protecting us. Now that bear won't meet us down the road or down the trail. You know, like our dog is protected. I don't think that bear meant any harm against them. They weren't, you know, it wasn't going to attack them, but if you're afraid of what you don't know, and they don't know that, you know, bears are afraid of us as well. Like
being afraid of the unknown is a common theme in life.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Whether
that's right. Yeah.
Whether we're talking race, politics, religion, money, like all sorts of things, you know, there's a lot of times that you fear what you don't know, and being ambassadors for the hunting community is our mission to be advocates for hunting and teach people.
Yep.
And so out of this trip, from the very first kill that you and I get together, was a teaching moment.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Was,
with others and for you and I.
Right.
Hugely for you and I, because we had just experienced that and done something we've never done and we've been seeking after for years now.
Yep.
But then also to experience it with people who had no idea you can even hunt bear.
Oh man.
So it's like, it's crazy, you know?
It's insane to really wrap the head around. So we get this bear, Tony and I dive, you know, hand and head first into learning how to skin an animal and gut an animal. And I knew that this bear was an animal I wanted to rug out.
Thank you, YouTube.
Yep. So, so social media gets hit on a lot. There's a lot of negative stuff that's on social media. But with social media goes a lot of positive.
Yep.
And a lot of influence for the good, not just the bad.
Yep.
And so, you know, going into our hunt, we really spent a lot of time on YouTube, like how to skin an animal, what it looks like.
Yep.
And it's really ironic that if you don't know, you're watching this, listening to this for the first time, the anatomy of animals is all the same. Heart, lungs, liver, stomach, intestines, you know,
It's so just the scale.
It's just the scale and whether it walks on four legs or two and how much hair it has and the shape of the teeth. And so you really just pay attention in science class growing up and you'll have an understanding of like what you're getting into.
Yep.
So needless to say, we got to skin out our first animal. I learned an extreme lesson that we were so excited about hunting and the possibility that we still had multiple days left on our hunt that I hiked this bear out solo 9 miles, cape and all in one trip.
Yeah.
And you stayed back to hunt.
Yeah.
But man,
yeah,
that was not a very smart thing.
No, we learned a lot. And again, we talked about this. Johnny does his famous, what were our takeaways? What would you do again? What would you do different? So we talked and, you know, we cooked up some of the bear that night.
Yep.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
We know this because we saw it on YouTube videos.
Yeah, Steven and we, Rinella on Meat Eater talks about
when you harvest your game, you cook it that night and that's your dinner because that's, you're out in primal. The wilderness. That's what, yeah, that's right.
You cook your meat over
so
fire.
So we did that.
To celebrate.
Yeah. We made sure to cook it all the way. Yep. We learned. Yeah.
You don't want trichinosis.
No. And, we talked about a game plan and you wanted me to kill a bear.
Yes.
And you were like, I'm going to take the bear back to our car, put in the cooler because we had coolers ready, had ice ready because we knew we were going to harvest a bear. And he was, you know, we talked, you stay and you hunt and you kill a bear.
Yeah.
And so we talked about this as a team and decided this is the plan. We don't know anything. So hindsight, we would never do that again.
Never.
Never.
No.
But we were so jacked, I think, that, you know,
adrenaline was running.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And
yeah,
we were so naive.
Yeah, exactly.
To safety.
Yep, exactly. And on that hike, you fell, and you could have broken your ankle easily.
Yep.
I've seen you fall while hiking with
a
heavy
pack. One of our scouting trips when I was carrying my kid on my backpack,
and I was like, I will, let me carry your kid. I will carry the backpack. And you're like, no, I need to do this. And I was like, this guy is just nuts. He is tough as bones. Like, I mean, bones aren't really tough.
Yeah.
But your ears are because
high calcium.
Because they didn't break. But yeah, I mean, anything can happen. I mean, So I was busting my butt because I'm not going to just sit back at camp and Johnny's, you know, doing this all by himself. I'm going to kill a bear and have a bear at camp ready for him to hike out again.
Yep.
Like, but that didn't happen. And now, you know, hearing about him falling and we had dinner that night around the campfire and it was like, that was not smart. I felt bad the whole time. Like I should really be helping him. I should be with him. He should not have to do this alone. Like, I don't even think I was focused on the hunt because I was like, wow, that was really stupid. Like, it was just a gut feeling like, this is bad.
Yeah.
And we didn't have cell service. Like, did you make it? I don't know. Like, it was just kind
of... Like, one of the safe things we did do, though, is I said, if I'm not back at camp by a certain
this
time, you better come find me.
And I was on my watch. I was checking the time. But, like, when I saw you up that trail coming back, I was like, it was like a sigh of relief, like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad he's safe. Why the heck did we separate?
Dude,
like,
such a rookie mistake.
It was bad.
So all you listeners out there, I packed out this black bear solo, one trip, cape and all. And the way I didn't have a true hunting pack, you know, like a...
No,
Mr.
this is an REI pack.
Exo Mountain Gear. Well, the way my pack was, everything just sank to the bottom of it. And so it sat on me super awkward and it was extremely uncomfortable. And to this day right now, I mean, I ran a marathon, you know, a month later. And packing out this bear 9 miles was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
And a lot of it was because of your pack.
Right.
Because we've put heavier stuff on our back since.
But when it's situated
properly.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly.
Distributed.
Yep.
So I end up falling and And I was like, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it out. Either I make it out, because that is a part of hunting and the backcountry hunt, and why hunting is so like...
That grit.
The grit, and you only have yourself to rely upon.
Yeah.
Either I lay here and wait for someone to come find me, or I get up and get my butt to the trail, to the car. And
what a
and,
boss.
And so I did it. And so, needless to say, we don't have to spend a ton of time on it. Don't ever pack out an animal solo. And if you're by yourself...
Even if your buddy says, no, I'll do it, you go hunt.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Like, don't do it.
You stick with your buddy, and it's a team thing. You guys do it together.
And so out of this, we learned a lot of mistakes, learned a lot of what not to do.
Yeah.
We learned what we can do, and learned how to do a lot of things. But that is how... you know, Washington backcountry came to be.
Yeah.
It was like, we need to teach people. There's no mentorship in the hunting world.
Yeah.
And we need to be on a mission to teach people.
Yeah.
So let's fast forward a little bit. Washington backcountry, becomes a thing. We're doing, social media posts on Instagram. You know, we started a YouTube channel, website, all that. This last year, 2018, was how many years of hunting for you?
5 years.
And you finally shot your first big game animal.
Oh, baby.
Tell us about it.
So that spot that Johnny and I would scout and learn how to scout and hike with his son and his backpack. And so I would go back to that spot every year to finish out my season because it was close to home and... I knew it really well, and oftentimes I could get away for a day. So I was by myself a lot of the times that I was there. You and I hunted there together a lot, but I had had a couple misses at that place. And every single time I had one miss, I thought my gun malfunctioned, and I just am an idiot. And the bolt was up.
So Tony ended up trying to shoot at a deer, a beautiful forky, blacktail deer, it's hard enough to find a blacktail deer buck, but his gun bolt wasn't shut all the way.
And the first time hunting with this gun, brand new gun. I had sighted it in. I was comfortable with it, but when I was shouldering it from left to right, I kicked the bolt up. And I didn't know that. And so I saw this deer. It was bedded down. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is it.
Yeah.
It was 50 yards away. It was just, like, handed to me. And didn't see me. I took my time. I was able to set up a bipod. And, like, I am as comfortable as I can be. This is going to happen. And right before because I was by myself, I talked to Johnny. And he was like, call me when you drop a deer. I'll drive out and I'll help you pack out. My wife's okay with it. And I was like, the first thing that went through my head when I saw that deer was, I'm about to call Johnny and tell him to pack up. Like, you better meet me here because you said you were going to help. Like, I was so excited for that conversation.
The reason why, just interject real quick. This is during October's modern firearm rifle season in Washington, which is from roughly October 15th, 16th to October 31st. And I had my second son born October 21st. So I had a young newborn baby.
Yep. Which is why he couldn't get away, but agreed to, hey, I can drive out and meet you for a couple hours to help you.
Right.
And that was cool. So anyways, got set up, stable as I can be, pulled the trigger, nothing happened. I was like, what the heck? What is wrong with this gun? And I start like panicking. I don't know why I did that. Just because I am a rookie. You know, I don't know. And so I start freaking out. And then I think that I moved too much. And the deer noticed me. It got up. So I took that round out, put another one in. And now I'm standing trying to find this deer in my scope. And it's gone. And I watch it walk away. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so angry at myself because I was like, this was handed to me. What the heck happened?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I can't stop thinking. And so I just start hiking. I was like, I just need to go to my next spot, get over it. You're still hunting. It's early. That was in the morning. So I have all day. So I my shoulder gets tired. I switch from one to the other, and I kick the bolt. And I was like, oh, my gosh. My bolt was up. Like, I just witnessed what happened, and I, you know, it's just something I wasn't aware of when walking.
It's a good learning lesson that make sure you know your gear.
That's right.
And how it works
times. That was my first time with it, and I, you know, I was just hiking. I didn't know the difference.
Yeah.
Now, you betcha that I check the bolt every single time. Like, it's crazy the things you learn.
So, take it forward another year.
Yep. So,
and what happens?
I'm back at that spot. So we went all season long. Johnny, Wes, and I were hunting, and they wanted me to harvest my first big game animal because they both have. So they give me first shot on all the hunts that we are with. So we went on several hunts together in Eastern Washington and didn't see any legal bucks that we could shoot. So no luck there, but they were giving me the first shot, which is awesome. So I was like, this is the year. October comes, and I'm like, well, I'm going to go to my old trusty spot that Johnny and I started this whole thing with. I can get away for a day hunt. Maybe the next day I can hunt.
So just to give some perspective on our YouTube channel, Weston, there's a bear hunt where I go on to back to the same location as the previous years where I shot my first bear.
Yep.
With Weston, the trash man, and we go, but Tony doesn't join us because you are having a new kid.
Yeah,
your first child.
My first child was supposed to be born August 1st,
yep.
which is when Bear opens, which is when we go on our trip.
Yep.
And so I missed that. My son is late, so he ends up getting born on the 12th. So you guys get back. I hear about your successful trip. I'm all pumped. But I still have no kids, so I'm like, I could have gone. But you know, I'm not going to.
Wife would have been. So
I'm not
going to
test
that.
It. No way. Heck no. I don't want to miss that.
So, but the reason why you could only get away for like a day, in deer season,
is because I have a newborn now, you got to balance your family, and you don't want to leave him back because then you're just.
So we've gone in Eastern Washington hunting a couple times. Finally, I can't get out. You're on your own. There's a couple of days left of season.
Yep. Make it back in October to that same spot. And I now am in the evening time. So I go all day not seeing a thing. And I'm like, typical. This is just like, wow, this goes for 5 years.
Right.
And I am hiking down because, okay, I got maybe 2 hours left of shooting light. And so I'm going to bolt out of this area because there's no deer in here, clearly. Go to this next spot where I have seen deer before, so I'm going to just jet there.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I hear just, meh, like, out of nowhere. And I was like, no way, that was a deer. And it just stops me in my tracks. I don't see anything, but I hear it. So I pop up over this little ridge that I was under, and this fork, blacktail forky, is staring right at me. And I'm like, antlers. I'm allowed, like,
because there's any buck unit.
Yep. Yeah. So I quick scope and he takes off and I am like, now or never, like, oh my gosh. So I pull the trigger, shoot it. I don't know if I hit it or not. I see a deer running into the woods and I'm like, is that the one I just shot? Or is that a different one that it was with? And it happened. I'm saying like under a minute, like I popped over, it saw me, it started running. I pull up. Shoot.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe 50 yards, maybe 40 yards. It seemed pretty close, but it happened so fast. I don't know. I don't hear nothing. And I'm just, you know, my heart's racing. And I start running down the trail to where I think it's running. Maybe I can see it, or I don't know what I was thinking. But as I was running, I was like, oh my gosh, if I shot and missed, I'm not telling Johnny. I'm not telling him that I shot.
Because at this point,
yeah.
How many deer have you at least had in your crosshairs that were legal to shoot and you either shot at or had the opportunity to shoot at?
Three times.
Three times leading up to this.
Yep.
And so this is why we call him Two Shot Tony. It sticks around. So so you're like, you're not telling me.
I'm not going to tell you. Because if I miss, I'm just walking home. Oh, I didn't see anything. But so I start hiking around I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm going to look for blood. Maybe I'll see it laying down. Maybe I'll jump another one. I don't know what's happening, but I'm like just nervous, scared, whatever. And I see blood and I was like, no way. I hit it. It's not a lot of blood, but at least I hit it.
Yeah.
Which means I can track it. I've tracked animals before.
Yeah.
I know how to look for blood on the ground.
There you go.
And I turn and it is 10 yards away from me laying down dead. Which is like 20 yards from where I shot it at. Like it dropped like yeah. in an instant.
Yeah.
Didn't even have time to take another breath probably. And I was like, I start freaking out. I'm by myself and I am celebrating like with our bear hunt, uh-huh. but I'm by myself. And I'm like, it happened. I did it. And I was like, yes. And I got the gun raised in my in the air.
You're just jacked. You're so jacked. Rocky moment at the top.
Oh my
of the
gosh. And I'm like, I can't wait. So I go to it first and I'm like, and then I calm down because finally I see it up close and I'm like, now I understand what that means to have taken a life. Cause now I'm not screaming or yelling. I'm like, holy smokes.
Yeah.
This is a big animal and I'm by myself and I killed it. And now I have to harvest it and it's dead in front of me. And I was like, this is surreal.
Yeah.
But I've wanted this for so long and now it's here and I'm by myself.
Yep.
And so one of my first thoughts was I need to call Johnny, which a lot of people, it's like, oh, I want to tell my wife. I want to take it in. I was like, I need to call Johnny right now.
Yeah.
And I called you and you didn't answer.
Oh dude. But when I saw that missed call, yes. I was like,
so then no I called way. My wife. Second, I was, okay, I need to call my wife.
Yeah.
And she cried for me. Wow. Like she was beyond, because she knows how long it's been and how much work I put in and how excited I was. And she she was so excited.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like killing. I mean, she loves deer meat. We ate the heck out of that deer. She loves it. But I mean, she'd never kill an animal herself, but she was so happy for me because she knew what it meant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so that is all actually on our YouTube channel.
Yep. Yep.
On the Washington Backcountry YouTube channel.
Yep.
I
was by myself, so it was kind of hard to film.
Yeah.
Towards the end when, you know, you can see that.
I think you did an amazing job of getting your emotions on camera, though.
Oh, my gosh. I tried to put that in there.
That was special.
It was special. It was something else. Yeah.
It's important for people to see.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, we're not cold-hearted killers.
No.
There's more to it than that.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the adventure of Two-Shot. Two-Shot finally became One-Shot.
That's right.
And he harvested his first big game animal.
Took One-Shot.
So that was in 2018. And moving forward now.
Yep.
Do you think it... I think it's easier now?
No.
No. What do you mean?
I think I know. I understand how hard hunting is.
Yeah.
And just because I've harvested an animal does not make it easier. I have learned within, you know, all that time I've had to learn, I've learned a ton, you know, within the 5 years that I've called myself a hunter. And I've finally harvested an animal where it's like, wow, I'm an actual hunter now.
Right.
I'm not just hiking with a gun, but it's still hard. I think that you need to get out often in order to have a lot of success. If I am just out for, you know, a couple weekends here and there, it might take a couple more years. If I'm out putting in the time and knowing the area, scouting, understanding where the animal are, doing the time.
Do you think that's when hunting becomes a lifestyle? And that's
where
it takes over these other hobbies that you used to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can only dedicate so much time to a hobby when you have a family,
when you want to be a good father and a good husband. And a good employee
as well,
whatever it is you do for work to make money.
Yeah. But yeah. So, I mean, my wife reminds me and I love her for that because it's like, yeah, I can't get lost in this because you and I need to have a good relationship. We don't share this passion together, but it's good to have separate passions that, you know, that bring us life. Yep. But together we need to be able to be together. So I can't be off doing my thing when we are in the same room, because then we're not together, and that's bad.
So going full circle here, since this is the Soulful Hunter podcast, you started out hunting because you thought it was fun.
Yes.
Why do you hunt now?
Ooh, it's still fun. That's why.
Yeah.
Has
anything changed or shifted?
I think that, so I'm a hobby guy because of the adventure, because of what it does to me. For yourself to be able to be revived, you know, like to get away from work or your obligations, you need to have something that gives you life, right? So something that recreates you. So recreation recreates me.
I've never heard it put like that. That's well played.
And I need to be out in nature and feeding this wild side that I have in order to refill my batteries. And I think hunting is a full circle of that. Like it's hiking, it's adventure, it's challenging. I love challenging myself. Like anything that is hard is something that I like to do and push myself.
Yep.
Like you said, it's going beyond, it's reaching, like taking a life, but harvesting it so that you can bring it home and provide food for your family. Like all that full circle is like,
through
man.
Death of an animal through brings life.
That's right. Yeah.
So the only way to get life is through death.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So all that together, I mean, it just encompasses all of that. And it's like an all in one.
Incredible. Yeah. So I think you already answered this, but let's just like really narrow it down. What does hunting do for your soul?
It recreates me.
It recreates.
It recharges me.
I've never heard that be said before, that recreation being broken down is recreation.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. Talk about words of wisdom right there.
Ooh, baby.
Is, why do we recreate? Because we want to refresh.
Yeah, that's right.
And to get a refresh so that we can go back in and be the best that we can.
Yeah.
You know, I actually wrote recently that, you know, being in the wild trivializes all of life's issues. That when you focus on survival, get out of the comfort zone, and focus on the necessities of life, it puts in perspective all of the other things that easily distract us. You know, that it allows us to get to the root of who we are, to clear our minds, focus on a goal, and be present in a moment. And that is how hunting can transform you through the primal adventure.
Mm-hmm.
That is what being a soulful hunter is all about. And it sounds like right now that you are a soulful hunter. I freaking love that, man. I'm really proud to call you a friend, call you a brother, but also call you my hunting partner.
Yes.
And that's special. You're a teammate. But not only that, you're an amazing father, amazing husband, and you are a positive contributor to this world. And that is being a soulful hunter, that's what it's all about. So with all that being said, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what's going to happen in this 2019 season, knowing that I have my third child on the way. But hopefully you and Wes can get out and replace the bear that I lost last year, which is heartbreaking. I'll be on a hiatus because I will have my third son coming in the end of July.
We're
trading places. Yep. But this year, it's my year to get a deer.
To shoot. And this is my year to get an elk.
Yes, absolutely. So, dude, thanks for joining us, man.
That was fun, yeah.
I really appreciate it. All of you, don't forget to go check out Tony on Instagram. Tony, where can we find you? What's your social media?
I mean, my everyday social media is just Tony Ellersick. You can see my family, what I like to do for fun. I tag us washing the backcountry a lot in my workouts or other stuff that I do. So you can just...
Is that on Instagram?
Yeah, that's on Instagram, yep.
Awesome.
I don't really do Facebook or anything, so mainly Instagram.
Instagram, yep, that's where it's at.
Yep.
So we can find you on Instagram. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes, but... Once again, thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to subscribe and go ahead and rate this podcast, and we'd really love to hear from you. If you want to know more about Tony, you want to know more about the Soulful Hunter, or more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com. You can also go to soulfulhunter.com. And don't forget to check us out on Instagram. There is the Soulful Hunter podcast on Instagram, as well as Washington Backcountry. And we're really looking forward to building a community with you and bridging the gap. Be soulful, everyone. I'm Johnny Mack. Don't forget to tag us in all of your hunting photos and use the hashtag SoulfulHunter.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag SoulfulHunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com and be sure to follow the podcast as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful.